podcast about the monsters, spooks, and nasty guys that inhabit your favorite fantasy settings. We're your hosts. Hi, I'm Noel. I'm only green when someone's found a better carcass than me.
Hi, I'm Colin. I worship Gork or Mork, but I don't know exactly which one.
And today we're talking about why every party keeps watch from Tusk till Dawn. Orcs. But first, some updates since last time.
This isn't true when we're recording, but by the time you're hearing this, Christmas will have passed.
I hope you plundered well.
Yeah, so Merry Christmas if you celebrate.
Indeed, Merry everything else if you don't.
Yeah, Merry Yule.
Yule what?
Yule.
Yeah, Yule what?
It's just Yule.
You can't start a sentence and not finish it like
I guess
that.
Technically it's Yuletide.
There we go. So Yuletide over what?
No, like you'll do your laundry. Yuletide.
Oh, all right. That makes sense.
No, every single pagan who listens to this is just going to murder you.
That's fair. I probably deserve it. You can kill me, but you never get the smell out.
I guess, you know, Kobolds was a while ago. Yeah. Not as long as we thought it was going to be.
Honestly, yeah.
Kind of surprising. As you listen to this episode, in the next like couple of weeks, we're aware that there is a problem with, not necessarily with the RSS feed or with iTunes in particular, or with the way that if you have a Scrobbler or a podcast catching app, there's nothing wrong with that, but iTunes itself is not listing any episode except for the most recent episode. I'm going to spend the next couple of weeks trying to fix that. So if suddenly, you know, you look at your feed and every single episode is back up for download, nothing weird happened. I just probably had to repost them. So if, you know, just, hey, you can just click that you already listened to it or whatever, yep. Whatever you want to do.
Or you could re-listen to it. That's cool. Sorry. I mean, we wouldn't complain.
Sorry if I take up 2 gigs of your hard drive space for a little bit. I really don't mean to. So, yeah, We got a nice little episode here to do, and I'm drinking a Bloody Mary.
Incredibly appropriate.
Very.
I've got water.
Yeah. I mean, orcs gotta hydrate.
It's true.
All the day and the horde. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you don't stay green without water. That's just a thing.
Well, without further ado, orcs.
Orcs. What orcs. Are orcs?
They're big. They are many different colors. You know, green is the really identifiable one for several franchises.
Right.
But, you know, classic is like, you know, gray to brown to black.
Right. There's often a lot of midnight black description.
Yeah. There's, you know, plenty of red orcs. I guess not plenty, but there are.
They exist.
Yeah.
They're a thing.
And they're, sometimes they're tall and sometimes they're not, but they're between, I guess, like, 5.5 and 6.5 feet tall.
Traditionally, they're a little shorter than people.
Yeah.
But human people. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Traditionally, they're a little shorter than humans, but here recently, they've been gaining height.
Yeah, like definitely Warhammer and Warcraft orcs are huge. They're on top
tremendous.
Of that, they're jacked. But yeah, they're generally kind of stooped. They're very muscular.
Right.
They generally have tusks.
Right.
Depending on who you're talking to. Some of them have, like, normal human ears. Some of them have wolf ears, is a pretty common description.
I've never actually seen that.
That's actually true to Tolkien and, like, kind of, like, the lore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I always just thought of them as slightly ragged elf ears.
I guess that's a way to interpret it, yeah. But, like, as raw text, they're described as having lupine ears.
Right.
Oh,
and just as a side note, because I actually didn't realize this for quite a while, the way tusks are only from the bottom.
Yes.
Tusks are only the bottom canines, whereas fangs are only the top, just so as you know.
Yeah, well, I guess in some instances they have fangs too.
Right, but it's usually just tusks.
Yeah. And, and as far back as Tolkien, which is what I'm sure most people are aware of orcs from, there's a good, decent chunk of folklore stuff, but not a lot. It's a little little strange.
They existed. That's the thing.
Yes.
Unlike a lot of things, before the modern era, they were basically the same. They were orcs.
Yeah. There's getting research on this stuff because of Tolkien is a little difficult because a lot of the English language discourse about where the word orc came from is pretty mired in the specific word etymology that Tolkien studied.
Right.
But it looks like, as far as what we're going to say, you can go all the way back to Orlando Furioso, who was kind of the Italian godfather of fairy tales, along with various, you know, German and French influences in their own ways. But he, you know, it, there was, I guess they were more like ogres.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah.
That and, was the more common interpretation, was just big, like, evil, ogre guys.
Yeah. And the word, you know, it gets translated in orc in modern English, but it was huerco, hork, you know, an honestly comparable word.
Yeah,
it,
real close.
And pretty much, I guess, made it over here as a loan word is in like ogre and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't bring anything with it. Sounds like
a
loan.
Yeah. As far as Tolkien study into the word, you have two different sources. Well, I guess one source through two different means.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman god Orcus, who is the god of death.
Appropriately.
Yes. It made it into the English lexicon through Roman occupation and what have you. And the kind of jump from Orcus referring to a Roman god to Orcus referring to a kind of creature is in a line in Beowulf, where I think it's listing off, you know, like, you know, trolls and goblins and spooks and, you know, spooks is like Orcus Mundi or something is translated as evil spirit or underworld spirit. And that's kind of, yeah, where he got the word orc, I guess.
I believe it was Orkness.
Orkness, yeah, there you go.
It just, one of them things, it's an odd word.
Yeah.
Then again, it's just so far out of our lexicon that it seems odd.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was normal for them.
Yeah. Definitely, like, on the whole, they seem really, really influenced by continental folktales involving ogres.
Yeah, yeah.
In one of William Blake's poems, he has a character named Orc.
Ah, yeah. And one of the few inherently good interpretations of the word orc.
Yeah. I didn't really find anything to tell me otherwise. I'm pretty sure Orc is a normal human dude just named Orc.
He is actually the manifestation of rebellion, freedom, and creativity.
Yes.
That's basically it.
Yeah. But as far as I never saw any concrete, like, description of him anywhere.
I read a bit of it.
Yeah.
He was just a human dude. Physically, he was human, okay, just like you say.
Yeah.
That's it. I actually read that passage, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's alternative mythology. I dig it.
But yeah, he's all about passion and anti-tradition, which are things I love.
Yeah, I'm definitely down with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he's opposing the big, you know, tradition, the whole you have to do this because we say so kind of thing. And that's like, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
100%.
And then there's one little weird other thing that is called an orc.
Right.
In Austrian Alpine culture, you know, they're kind of pre-Christian pagan stuff. You know, they of course had kobolds like most of the German speaking world.
Well, yes.
And an orc was a kobold that lived in a wine cellar.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, huh.
I feel like that's largely coincidence. I don't think that made it out to anywhere.
I don't think it did, but it would have been great if it did.
Yeah.
That's just one more little link. Just something you can throw in there. Yeah. Just, I don't know.
But definitely what everyone thinks of as an orc is...
big, green, tusky.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't really say a green is an automatic thing on there.
I would.
I actually really don't like green orcs.
That's understandable, but, like, the majority of people think green when they think orcs. I mean, D&D has popularized the straight green orc.
No, D&D is all about gray orcs.
But all the art has, like, greenish gray.
It's not, like, the neon lime green of Warhammer.
I will grant.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, orc boys.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Right. But, you know, when people think of orcs, the source material is going to be Tolkien orcs.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, 100%. Like, it'll always be meats back on the menu, boys. That's orcs, period.
Yeah. And I guess we did cover this a little bit in the Goblins episode.
Goblins
and orcs, according to Tolkien, are basically the same thing.
Completely interchangeable. We have, just the Hobbit referring to all of them as just straight up goblins.
Yeah.
And it's And then we have the entirety of the trilogy at the end, just referring to most of them as orcs, with the occasional goblin reference.
Yeah.
And it seems to depend largely on who's telling it.
Yeah. The general consensus is that orc is the elven word for them, yes, whereas goblin is the common word for them. And generally, when you see them call them goblins, it's because you're reading a Hobbit perspective chapter.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is very appropriate, actually, considering that orcs in the Tolkien universe, one of their possible origins was they used to be elves.
Yes.
Which is very interesting, because they just weren't always the big, brutish, completely evil, like, massacre everyone, stupid unless they're being guided by someone things. They used to be elves, and it's just, it's so odd that it took a form of, like, torture and breaking for them to make a whole new race.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of tied up in the whole, Melkor or
Malkior?
Malkior, there we go. The whole thing where Malkior and the other evil beings, they can't create things, they can only reshape things.
Right.
Because originally, it was like orcs were said to have been made by a god named Melkor. And then eventually, as the Silmarillion developed more, it became, all right, they're elves that were tortured and broken into being an evil race of creatures.
Gotcha. Hmm.
So you got like the stumpy little shorter orcs,
right,
which are kind of more goblin-y, I guess. And then eventually you have Orichai made, which,
right,
I guess are technically half orcs, but they're a lot closer to what we kind of think of as orcs.
Right. They're kind of like the prototypical orc.
Yeah.
And even so much as you were talking about like the gray skin, that's them. But that's them between like gray and dark black and whatever.
Yeah. And they have the whole thing where it's not that they can't be in sunlight. It's just that generally orcs really, really don't like sunlight. Like it kind of dazzles them. They don't like being up during the day, that kind of thing. Right. They're fine in Mordor because it's constantly
They're not good overshadowed. They're not good at the old razzle dazzle.
Yeah. But then the Orichai, like that, their big whole thing is, oh, we can march through the day and we're fine.
Right. Yeah. And that's a really big advantage when you look at it.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the downfall of a lot of things is only being able to work in one time of day.
Yeah. They're also possibly cannibals.
Not even possibly. It's heavily, heavily implied.
It's heavily, well, the passage that really, really implies it is in, it's the second Lord of the Rings book.
Right, where the two goofballs are captured, right?
Yeah, and one of them's being trundled about, and a bunch of orcs get killed, and then not too long after, an orc throws a piece of dried meat at him, and he says he has no idea what creature this even could be.
Right.
Which I don't think really implies cannibalism, just that they're eating people in general. Right. Like, it could be human flesh, who knows?
Right, and there have been arguments I've seen about where just arguing for the case of expanding the term cannibalism to mean eating anything sentient.
Yeah.
Which, in a multiracial setting, I can understand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd consider them cannibals, whether it be traditional or non-traditional.
I wouldn't rule out that they're cannibals. I wouldn't put it past them or anything.
In the movie version, they are cannibals.
Yeah.
Period.
Straight out.
One of the most memorable scenes in all of the movies.
Yeah.
As I said, meat's back on the menu. Probably my favorite scene, actually.
Oh, man. I will be wary at your barbecues from now on.
Don't worry.
And then, I guess, the next time we see them after that is D&D.
Right. In which they are introduced very early.
Yes.
Because they are the prototypical kill things guys.
Yes. Very well known for being pig-like in appearance. which is...
And bald sometimes.
Yeah. Did not intend that. The whole pig orcs thing is one of many instances with the early art where it was a miscommunication between Gygax and Sutherland, who was the main illustrator.
Gotcha.
The big thing is they're supposed to have the big thing is they're supposed to have tusks. They're supposed to have, you know, wolf-like ears, and be kind of hunched humanoids with long arms.
Gotcha. So that seems to have gone for a lot of the creatures that they made.
Yeah.
Hunched humanoids with long arms. Where have I heard that before?
Lord only knows. Ironically, first edition gnolls didn't look anything
right.
Like they, you know, they're very upright and regal. They
very
didn't have,
noble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because eventually orcs will be considered very noble.
Right. They just sort of switched about there.
Yeah.
Which I can't hold it against them. I mean, it's gnolls had their time, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think we did something better with them anyway.
Yeah. but yeah, orcs are kind of the big guy around.
Right.
They're, you know, half orcs are a very common player race.
Incredibly. They're almost core at this point.
Yeah.
In fact, they actually are core in 5th edition.
Yes, they were core. Well, they were...
They were second book.
It's a PHB 2 core, which is close enough. Like, I wouldn't consider 4th edition core... Just the first, like, you have to have that second book. That second book does a whole lot for that game.
It does. I will grant. But, I don't know, there's just something about the first book that makes it pure core.
Yeah.
Because it's pure core.
They were in 3.5's PHB.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Fair? So, yeah, they've been core for a long time.
Yeah. Orcs are consistently, like, the top voted, like, level 1 to 10 monster.
Right. Which... Yeah, it's cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, 3.5's monster manual, or I guess their overall bestiary, is basically, like, you know, the sweet spot of that game is level, like, 7 to 15, and orcs are the sweet spot, like, humanoid monster for that.
Gotcha. Hmm.
But yeah, orcs are basically, they're just orcs, they're kind of barbarians.
Yeah, they occasionally, like you said, have that noble barbarian thing going on, but they're not really that barbaric. They're more...
They're barbaric in that they raid villages and maybe they eat people and they worship demon gods like Bane.
Yeah, yeah. Although, is he actually a demon? I think he's just an evil god.
I guess he's just an evil god. But, you know, they worship gods with names like Bane and
Grumsh.
And Grumsh. And,
yeah, that says rather a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's like the archetypal, are we the baddies?
Oh, man.
We've got skulls on our outfits.
I completely forgot about Grumsh. Grumsh is pretty cool. Like,
yeah. One-Eye Grumsh?
Yeah, had his eye plucked out by Karel Lathion.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
That elven goddess?
God, goddess?
I think it's a goddess.
I know in 3.5, he is exclusively referred to with masculine pronouns.
Okay.
Fourth edition, I do not know.
Hmm.
Off the top of my head, she might have been female in that. In 5th edition, I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be gender fluid.
That's appropriate.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're a god. I just go by whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they can be whatever the hell they want,
honestly.
Yeah. Let's see, you got Bane, you got Grumsh.
Grumsh is a pretty cool god.
Honestly, yeah.
Let's be
honest.
Man, aren't they tied to Orcus, ironically?
Not that I recall, actually. Okay. Only in that they kill things.
Okay. I guess if you're going to be killing stuff, you might as well, like, throw it in with Orcus on occasion.
Yeah, seriously. Has D&D done anything particularly interesting with orcs?
Forgotten Realms apparently has a lot of, like, cool orc stuff. I don't, you know, I was never one who read the Dritz novels or anything.
I didn't either.
There's supposed to be a couple of really, really good orc, like, main characters in that.
Okay.
And they do a lot of, but they do a lot of, like, interesting political stuff with the orcs and kind of, you know, the rim settlements and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that would qualify for Hinterlands.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, they're orcs. They'll show up in just about every, you know, module you'll ever see.
They really will.
Yeah.
If nothing else, just as a token orc.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always some presence there.
The orcs are still going strong.
Yeah.
Still heavily involved in D&D. They no longer, they originally had the, from an influence from Lord of the Rings. In first, second, and third edition, they were dazzled in sunlight, which gave them, like, penalties to hit, and they couldn't see as far, and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
They got rid of that in fourth because they got rid of a lot of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it did not make it back into fifth edition.
Gotcha. And that's interesting to note.
Yeah.
Because that was something that was actually kind of a big thing for them.
Yeah. I feel like it makes sense in 4th edition, because 4th edition isn't a semi-game. It's, you know, you don't want to think like, oh, well, are the orcs in sunlight or are they in daylight or da-da-da. You right. just want to be like, all right, you're fighting orcs. You're going to deal with some orcs.
Yeah.
And you want to do narrative stuff with orcs. Yes. You don't really want to worry about how long the players have slept for and what time of day it is.
And exactly how much they're carrying and how many of which things, and can both of these swords fit in this pack, or that's all very, like you said, simmy.
I do like that gameplay, and I am
it's
sad.
It's fun.
Yeah. But it's a different bag.
It's not the style of game they were going for.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's basically D&D orcs.
Right.
The other big strain for orcs, which is arguably, given what it inspired, a lot more relevant, is Warhammer orcs.
Right. Both versions.
Yes.
Both 40K and fantasy.
Yeah. Fantasy, or 40K, like, honestly, a little bit more, too.
Yes. Because fantasy orcs are very fantasy orcs.
Yes.
They're very bland.
Yeah.
You have your orcs, you've got your little goblins. That's it.
Yeah, they worship chaos.
They sometimes ride boars, I think.
Boars or wolves.
Yeah.
Everyone likes to take the whole warg thing from Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
And granted, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's really super cool.
Yeah.
It just gets done a lot. Yeah. And that's fine. Everyone's got their thing.
Yeah, the big thing is they're green.
They're green. They are super green.
They're green and they fight a lot. And that leads you into 40K orcs, which then had their personality bleed back onto fantasy orcs to make them a little bit more interesting.
Right, right. And that is to say, they are essentially English footy fans.
Yes, they're Cockney hooligans.
Right. Football hooligans is, I believe, the term bandied about.
Yes.
And boy, are they hooligans.
Yeah. They're green. They fight.
A lot. That's literally all they live for.
They're technically a fungus.
Yes. they have the whole, when you kill one, it releases a bunch of spores, yeah. And then you have an infestation that works for the rest of that planet's life.
Yes.
Which is awesome and terrifying, like most things in that setting.
They also have belief-based group psychic ability.
Yes, they do. They have the WOG. And boy, is it entertaining to play with.
Yes.
It's the concept of this is that in the whole universe, there almost every race has its own psychic signature and whatnot. The orcs have a very distinctive one. One that works through several orcs coming together. And by several, I mean anywhere between 5 and 50 billion.
Yeah.
And anything that these large groups of orcs believe can happen will happen. And generally it's rooted in something simple like, this gun will fire.
Yeah.
So it does, even though it's literally a gun casing filled with rocks.
Yes.
And it will fire bullets, and they will kill things.
Yeah.
Because they believe it.
Yeah. Or if you paint a car red, it'll go faster, because red things go faster.
Red is the color of speed, and yeah. It makes things go faster. And yeah. It actually does, because orcs believe it.
Yes. It's 5-year-old logic backed up by psychic warp present.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. That's basically what they are. They are hypermuscular, bipolar 5-year-olds. Some of them with really good technical knowledge. And that's another thing. When orcs grow into maturity, some of them grow into maturity with an inborn ability to work with machines. They have no question. They don't understand why they do it. They just know that if they use these tools and assemble this, it will make this gigantic robot.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no questioning it. They just do it. Or like some of them work on cars, the speed boys, the speed freaks. That orcs make no sense whatsoever. They make less sense than anything in the rest of the setting at all. And that's what makes them awesome.
Yeah.
That's what makes them fun. They are, out of everything in the entire Warhammer 40K universe, if you ask me, the most fun, just species, setting, whatever. They're the most fun out of everything.
I mean, they're... And a lot of people will beg to differ.
Oh, but yes, of course.
Warhammer 40K was made as a lampooning of ridiculous fantasy. It is supposed to be a parody in some way. Right. And thank God, orcs are... They are never not that.
Right.
You know, sometimes people get really serious about Space Marines or the Eldar.
Yeah. Oh, especially with the Space Marines.
Yeah. But you will... It's impossible to make orcs serious.
Right. Even in the the grim dark works of like their farthest black library books.
Yeah.
If there are orcs, yes, they're scary, but they're also goofy because they're orcs.
Yeah.
If nothing else, they're portrayed as dumb, humorous enemies.
Yeah.
That will still cleave your face in with an axe made from a bit of a car.
Yeah. Well, they painted it blue, so it's luckier, so it'll crit.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Blue is for lucky.
Yeah.
And that has bled over a little bit into the fantasy side.
Yeah.
Not so much. There are some random tables in the fantasy. Not as many as there are in 40K, but they still exist.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them a little more entertaining to play in fantasy.
Yeah. And I feel like the character is the big thing that's kind of bled over. Whereas orcs were, you know, in fantasy were originally just, you know, your evil horde. Now they've got a little bit of the humor in there. They've got a little bit just more character, period.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the saving graces for either of those universes, honestly.
We forgot two very important things.
Right.
Orcs' currency is teef.
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 Yeah. And two, they worship Gorka and Morka.
I think it's just Gork and Mork.
It's Gork and Mork. The moons are Gorka and Morka, named after the gods.
Right.
And depending on which god you worship, that's which one you think is the bigger moon.
Right. Exactly. Back to Teef.
Yes.
Back to Teef. All right. Just the concept is as many Teef as you can carry, which are not, we're not mispronouncing it. It's spelled T-E-E-F.
Yeah.
Because they can't spell for shit. They don't care.
Yeah.
And it means teeth, the kind that they have in their mouths.
Yeah.
If you can knock out another orc's teeth and take them, you're a little bit richer now. The thing about teeth is that they degrade over time, so you have to keep doing this. You have to continually keep robbing other orcs or taking orc teeth from the battlefield.
Yeah.
And they regrow teeth. So it is no one's ever going to be poor for long, unless you're a weedy git who can't fight. But the whole thing is, certain things, it's currency, so certain things will cost more, but the actual value of teeth, it doesn't fluctuate because there's always a set amount.
Yeah.
In your warband, there's always a certain amount of orcs, and it's slowly growing, but that doesn't do anything to inflation, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
There is, however, one clan of orcs who, as they reproduce, they're the ones who come off of their spores. Their teeth actually last longer, so their teeth are worth more because you can keep them for longer.
Yeah.
I believe it's the Black Suns. I'm not certain. But the whole concept of teeth as currency is so good.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to other strange currencies as the episode goes on.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Yes.
For you, those of you who didn't know, the game Warcraft was originally supposed to be a Warhammer strategy game.
Right.
The Games Workshop decided that they no longer wanted to fund it, that it was going to be too expensive or something.
That was a mistake.
And so they backed out of the deal.
Yes.
So Blizzard filed all the serial names off and kept making the game. And definitely, you know, the first Warcraft game definitely feels like a knockoff of Warhammer. But by the second one, they established their own lore by then, and they had a lot more to work to. It feels a lot different than just a Warhammer, you know, knockoff.
Yes, it does. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. And then by the time, you know, the third game rolls around, it's completely different. It's already, you know, deeply rooted in its own, you know, mythology.
Yes.
Then by the time World of Warcraft happens, it's a national phenomenon, and it's got more bad lore than you can shake a stick at.
Truth. And now it's got a movie coming out.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, looks interesting.
Yeah. I will probably pay to see it at the cheap dollar theater that has booze.
Yes, that's probably the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
Unless I hear otherwise in the intervening time, I'm going to do the same.
Yeah.
I might actually drink for it.
I mean, the last Hobbit movie was pretty much a pretty bad video game movie, and I got drunk and saw that in a theater, and it was a fun time. And so I think I'll do the same for Warcraft.
I like it. Yeah, that's a plan.
Warcraft orcs are from a separate planet/plane of existence.
Right, called Draenor, as those of you who've played have known.
It's got mushroom trees.
Right, and it's got weird blue goats.
Yeah.
That are also people.
Space berries, I love a space berry.
Space berries.
Yeah.
Space berries taste like space berries.
Yeah. and they're hanging out. Some demons happen along, because demons are some kind of multiplanar, legion destroying all of existence.
Which I kind of dig.
Yeah, and they start fighting orcs, and they're like, oh, orcs are real good at fighting, so let's turn them into thralls. And now we've got a big army of orcs that we can just send to destroy whole civilizations.
Right. And they do.
Yeah. Eventually, some wizard, as wizards are wont to do.
Oh, boy.
Makes contact with a demon, gets possessed or enthralled or whatever, and creates a portal. And out of the portal comes spilling hundreds and thousands of orcs.
Yep.
And that's the premise of Warcraft.
Yep. Big, hulking, burly, angry, green-tusked orcs.
Yeah.
And red. There's red and green and all kinds of colors,
actually. Yeah. Warcraft 1 and 2, it's pretty straightforward as far as, fantasy orc horde. Warcraft 2 was kind of, one of the first big fantasy medias that I really engaged with. So,
okay.
I played through as much of the, the orc campaign as I could. And, they're cool. They're fun. They're not made out to be total monsters.
Right. And they have some, I lack a better word, but humanity to them.
Yeah. Peons are cute.
They are.
Yeah.
Zug zug.
Zug zug. Stop poking me. and then, as much as I really didn't enjoy playing Warcraft 3, mostly because I was in a phase where I just wasn't good at strategy games.
It happens.
Yeah, I tried really hard to play that game. Orcs have, a really cool, nice story, because at that point, they had freed themselves from the influence of demons.
Right.
But they were stuck in Lordaeron.
Right, and they were living with the backlash of it.
Yeah. So, their whole story in Warcraft 3 is them, negotiating with humans and trying to avoid conflict to migrate to, a continent that wasn't as occupied as the rest of them, just so they wouldn't be starving all the time and having to pillage. And then eventually get caught up in the whole, what's his name? Arthas? Arthas?
I legitimately do not know.
The prince who turns into a lich.
Oh, right, a lich king.
Yeah, they get caught up in that whole conflict. Really that's where they start hammering in on the noble savage themes, where, for honor they have to, help right this demonic wrong that technically they brought to this place that is now their home.
Right. It's not a, this is the right thing to do thing. It's because we're so noble.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of a nick against them, but.
Yeah. I don't know. As long as you're not using, honor and nobility as a really dumb way to telegraph this race is supposed to be Japan or China, I'm fine with it.
All right. Yeah, it could be worse. Yeah. You're right.
And definitely, I think, there are occasionally, some problematic things like, orcs have shamans and they do storm magic and that kind of stuff. I feel like the way that noble savage tropes are used with them, they aren't connected to any one tribal culture all that much, that it feels like they're just kind of aping an existing culture and making them seem less than what they are.
I'm actually inclined to agree. There's a few things that I suppose one could get onto them about, but I do like the way it's handled.
Yeah.
It's very, not necessarily unique, but unique.
Yeah. It feels honest.
Yeah. It's, they're not just trying to be like, all right, make this, but put green skin on it.
Yeah.
They're not being lazy.
Yeah.
They're trying to make something that works and that we can connect with.
And then World of Warcraft comes along, and now everyone loves orcs. But orcs are basically the humans of the Horde.
Yeah, so, they really are.
Yeah, so really, they don't really, they don't compare to, I'm going to play a blood elf, or I'm going to play a troll, or I'm going to play, undead are really kind of the star of the races in World of Warcraft, as far as the Horde goes, in my opinion.
I suppose, but yeah. I think that whole thing is a very big matter of opinion.
Yeah.
Because, for me, it's 100% Tauren.
Oh, yeah, I always forget about Tauren. Tauren are great. I feel like of what I know of the World of Warcraft story for Horde, like, Tauren and Undead are definitely who you want to be.
Yeah, no question about that for me.
Yeah, Trolls and Orcs are just kind of boring, and then Blood Elves...
they don't fit.
Oh, man, I just really hate everything about the direction that Blizzard went for Elves. And we're never going to talk about Elves on this podcast, because... oh, man.
Yeah.
I know you hate Elves. And I know generally people love to hate on elves. I personally really, really love elves and would have an entire several podcasts just talking about elves. But that's, you know, elves get plenty of show elsewhere and we do not need to give them any more airtime on the show.
Right. That's, yeah. Moving on to something far more interesting.
Yeah. Elder Scrolls has really cool elves in it.
They do.
It picks back up on they're the same species.
Orcs.
I mean, Elder Scrolls does have cool elves. They have really cool orcs, though, who, at one point in time, well, I guess kind of like going back to the whole Tolkien idea that orcs are corrupted elves, they kind of take that but run with it in a better direction where orcs and elves are related.
Right. In fact, orcs actually in lore were elves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're elf-blooded. They're no different than dark elves or... whatever.
Right, cut that bit. I just fucked up.
It's, you know, it's fine. Like, yeah, they're basically elves that are just have to be muscly and green.
Right, and that's the thing. It's really interesting because, yeah, they're muscly and green and well-disciplined, which is really interesting.
Yes.
They are very well-disciplined in this setting. They're heavy armor aficionados. They're armor smiths. They're metal smiths. They are the traditional orc stereotype turned back to like 8 or 7 and then given a little more civilization. They still have the berserker rage type thing and they're still like super good at fighting, but they're like, they're very toned down. And I think that's an interesting way to play it.
The thing I really like about the world of Elder Scrolls and the way they treat races is when they take a traditional race like elves or orcs or whatever, they don't, it isn't like a lot of things where it's like, all right, we're going to take this core concept and we're going to turn it up or we're going to give it this weird little thing. They take what the general idea of what this race is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then they go, all right, how would this actually be if they existed as a real society?
Right.
And all right, so orcs are supposed to be highly militaristic.
Yes.
They're supposed to be, they live in large groups.
Yes.
And they're very competent raiders.
Yes.
Which means that they're going to have a very sophisticated means of logistics, of combat training. If they were just some bumbling huge horde, right, they would starve themselves out, yes, and they would be defeated by any army that had any remote amount of training.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, it doesn't take, you know, the perfect coordination of the Roman armies or whatnot to defeat that kind of thing. You just wait for them to starve themselves.
Yeah.
Like, that's a siege you will win.
Yeah. Which, and another thing is whenever you have an example like that, you know, it's always like, all right, well, we're going to make our orcs like, you know, Genghis Khan, mm-hmm, and the Mongols.
Right.
And I have to admit, I have gone down that easy, lazy road before.
Right.
And
it happens.
Yeah. But it's, especially in Elder Scrolls, it's nice that they didn't do that. That orcs, yes, aren't some huge mounted horde.
Right.
You know, they're a little bit more like Germanic cultures. Like, they have a heavy, you know, emphasis on smithing and metalworking and, yep, industry.
They're intelligent.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great. they don't get the whole dumb brute thing, which people still think of them as, but they are not actually dumb brutes. Yes. Yeah.
They certainly aren't academic, no, but they're very intelligent.
They're not academic because it doesn't serve them. That's, yeah, their thing. They make a living otherwise.
Yeah.
The elves and the humans, they can have their academia. We have our military.
Yeah.
That's what they're like.
You have their military, they have their trade skills.
Right.
Yeah.
When it comes right down to it, they're kind of what makes things go, as it were.
Yeah. So, I feel like it's time that we bring up what is definitely both of our favorite instance of orcs in any, yes, media. A wonderful, wonderful comic called Orcstain.
Orcstain is my favorite portrayal of orcs ever, and it's actually my favorite American comic ever.
Yeah. Easily one of the most beautiful trade paperbacks I own.
100%. Yes. Yeah. I found it once on the net. I went through it. I thought, this is absolutely beautiful. Years later, I finally pick up the trade paperback of it, and it's just, it's simply gorgeous. The writer and artist, James Stacoe, he's a magician. He's a pure wizard of detailed art.
Yeah. He has an amazing sense for color, too.
Oh, certainly. He just does the most wonderful just blendings and transitions and shading, and it's just, it's gorgeous.
Like, he uses gradients a lot. And despite the fact that he comes from an American comics background, it doesn't look like bad Photoshop.
No.
It looked like all of his work looks like gouache and acrylic painting. And it has this super nice painterly style, and it's got all these fluid little like lines, and everything have these little like dangling nipply things on them. And it's
and that's not the only dangling thing they've got on them. So many dicks.
So many dicks get cut off.
The whole series is basically Orc Dicks, the series. And don't let that put you off, okay? Just please, 100% worth looking at, just because the sheer inventiveness with which this man works dicks into this comic is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
All right. Orcs in this setting own the world. They are basically what everyone likes to think orcs want to be. They own everything in the world. There is nothing that isn't orc-owned or controlled. You have the occasional other species. You have nymphs. You have nymphs. You've got rhombas.
But by extension of nymphs, you have, like, hags.
Yeah, you've got hags.
Hags, yeah, which are basically the same thing, just a little bit more badass.
Right, exactly. And in theory, I think they mentioned dwarves once. I'm not sure.
I feel like it was building up to showing their main like campaign front line and them fighting dwarves.
Right. I've never once heard a human mentioned. I've never once heard an elf mentioned. It's just orcs. Orcs are everything. The whole world is covered in orcs, one big horde of them. Except it's not one horde, it's a billion little hordes fighting each other. There is one big orc czar who's working to get the whole horde together. And he's looking to find what's basically a giant artifact from long ago or whatever, and it's said to grant him infinite power. Orcs in this, like in Warhammer, they use body parts for currency.
Yeah.
Except theirs are dicks.
Yeah.
They just use cut-off orc dicks that they cut up and turn into coins.
Yeah.
They call them chits.
They roast them to turn into coins.
Right.
And if you slice your dicks too thin, people throw your currency out because it's counterfeit, because you weren't giving people a thick enough dick.
Right, exactly. And if you cut it too thick, you don't get enough coins out of it.
Yeah.
Which is a disappointment, because you just cut off someone's dick for this.
Yeah. Well, technically, they're gronkas.
They're called gronches.
Yeah.
They're called gronch, gronk, whatever, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
If you want to curse someone, you give them a poxagronka,
right?
Which curses their dick,
right? And it means you have an eternal rivalry with them. Not only rivalry, but you seek to cut off their dicks and then kill them.
Yeah.
And just Orcstein is about this one orc, one eye, and it's just him trying to survive the bullshit that's going on around him. That's it. That's his whole thing. Yeah. He gets in a fight with another orc, then he gets captured by another orc, and it's just, please. If you ever get a chance, just look up Orcstein. Orcstein as in a stain in your clothing. It's an absolutely wonderful thing. I cannot endorse enough.
And another thing I really like about it is, so like the main character, One Eye, he is very much supposed to be your typical fantasy novel roguish thief archetype.
Right.
Your Han Solo or whatever. The way that that an orcish thief works in Orcstein is that he knows exactly where to hit something to make it break.
Exactly. And that is his quote-unquote superpower.
Yeah.
Is he can see with his remaining eye the line that you hit to tap something just to make it crack in exactly the way you want. He's used it to get money before. And not in the robbing a vault kind of way. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just... please, 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 please. I cannot be more emphatic about this. Please look it up. Just give it a read through. You will not regret it. Okay, yeah. My fanboying is done now.
No, you're going to keep fanboying because next we're going to talk about the Orc Trilogy, which I know nothing about except that it's very popular.
Right. And I read a rather long time ago, so I remember less than I should.
Yeah.
But I remember that it was very good. Who was it by again?
That's a good question.
Anyway, point is, the Orc Trilogy is from the point of view of a small warband of orcs in a fantasy universe in which orcs are basically... they're sort of, I wouldn't say mercenaries, but they fight for whoever. Usually they fight for themselves. The idea behind orcs is that it's following this band who are doing the bidding of their queen, I believe it was, and they're just trying to survive, and they find these artifacts, and they're just trying to collect these things so they can make a world for themselves where they're not controlled by other people and always fighting. They want to make a world for orcs by orcs.
It's by Stan Nichols, and the first novel is called Orcs First Blood.
Right. It's also available in omnibus format, in which that's where I read it, which was very good. It takes a really, really nice view on orcs, in that they're just, they're close family ties, which a lot of orcs tend to be indicated as. In media in which they have families, they have really close family ties. They have a close warband tie, and they're good at fighting. And they're actually people. They have a sense of humor. They have desires. They have wants and needs and everything. It's just, it's honestly a gift to fantasy writing, the Orcs Trilogy. It just gives you such a different view on the way a fantasy world can be from the normal human perspective of, oh, all of these things are, you know, chaotic evil and they're all trying to kill us and they're all just an army marching on the human kingdoms and whatnot. Nah. That's not how it's treated. That's not how it is. These orcs are just trying to survive. They're trying to live. Sure, they're under the command of someone else, but they're trying to get out from that. That's not their thing. That's a temp job. He does a wonderful, wonderful job of creating a plot that makes you care about everyone. He gives them all great characterizations. He even makes the interracial, like, communication and workings of, like, having someone from a whole nother race, from a mercenary race, on your side. He gives that such an interesting flair with just the way orcs are. And they're so combat intensive that some of them even turn to paranoia because of all this combat. And it's just, they have such interesting character and such an interesting mentality that it's something so believable that almost nowhere else I've ever seen has given a monster race, let alone just orcs. Again, just please check it out. It's well worth your time, even if you don't read a lot. Just read the first one. You'll be doing yourself, your players, your DMs, you'll be doing all of them a big favor just by checking it out.
Yeah. There's also Shadowrun Orcs.
Right.
Which are the most developed race in that book, probably.
Yes, they are, basically. Shadowrun Orcs are humans that mutated or quote-unquote goblinized into your stereotypical orcs.
Yeah. They've got fangs and tusks. Generally, they have both.
Yep. Yep.
No change in skin color, though.
Right, they are generally human tones, which is interesting.
Is really uncanny for me in most of the art, because the fangs and tusks are generally drawn a little weird.
Yeah.
And then they're mostly normal, except maybe they have a more pronounced brow ridge. I feel like a lot of the orc art is kind of weird and awkward, like they don't have a strong enough artistic direction going for what they want to do.
They basically put fangs on a human.
Yeah.
And that's what it turns out being a lot. But a lot of people don't play it that way, which is good. They understand that the artistic direction may not be the best for them.
Yeah. Also, kind of like ironically and a little badly, a lot of orc culture is just a way to talk about black culture. Like, that's basically what it's supposed to be.
It has a lot of parallels,
It's a way for white people to play a black person in a modern fantasy game, which is kind of really bad.
And the thing is, I'd never really seen it up until recently. I'd never understood it, because I was always just like, orcs! They've got this orc culture that they're trying to make, and they're trying to be different. They're trying to actually have something where the elves have their culture, and the dwarves have their culture of overwork.
Yeah.
The orcs are just trying to make their own thing, the Orzhet Codex and all that. And I never saw that, ever, until just recently. And I'm like, this almost ruins orcs for me. But it can't, because Shadowrun.
To be fair, dwarves are Dwarves in Shadowrun are kind of just a really vague parallel for Italian, Irish, and Jewish American immigrants.
I always saw the Jewish bit. I never saw the Italian and the Irish.
They're a hardworking trade people that speak a funny language. Discworld orcs? I know nothing about Discworld orcs.
That's because there's not a lot to know.
Okay.
There's like they're supposed to be extinct or near extinct.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, orcs are evil as hell. They almost killed us all. And they give us like, well, that's the view of the winning side, yes? There's like one orc and they're actually fairly intelligent and kind and educated and all that. Yeah. They're basically just a human.
Okay.
And it's good Discworld.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Discworld.
You've got Gamorreans in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. You've got the Porks.
Yeah. They're like, literally, they're straight up, they're green pig barbarian looking guys that were for Jabba the Hutt.
Yep, that's it. They got big axes. They hit things. They are like the stereotypical pig orc.
Yeah.
that's the way you go if you want a pork.
Yeah. 13th Age has a couple of little interesting things involving orcs.
Do tell.
So, in their base setting, one of the 13 icons is the Orc Lord, who is the leader of the Orc Hordes.
Uh-huh.
And,
Orc Lords or Hordes.
Yeah. By insetting, fluff, orcs don't, like, they're a thing that kind of happens in the world. They are a creature that, by the environment willing it, begin to spawn in certain places. And you can cleanse that spot of the orc taint and it'll stop spawning orcs. But as long as it's there, orcs will continue to, to kind of rise up from that place. And one of the things, like the few books that are out for 13th Age,
yes,
will supply a lot of different rumors and theories you can use for campaigns to link different icons together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the major ones is that the Orc Lord or the various Orc Lords that have existed over the ages,
mm-hmm,
was originally created by the elves that used the orc spawning phenomenon, turned it up to 11 to create an orc lord to lead the orc hordes against against the elves' enemies, and it cataclysmically backfired on them.
Well, yeah. It doesn't take an elf to figure that one out. Well, obviously it didn't, because they didn't. Like, when has creating a new race to fight for you ever worked out well in the long run?
Mass Effect? Kind of. Not really, but...
Yeah, no, that didn't work out at all.
It worked out for everyone except for the Krogans.
Alright, it worked out. It did work. It did save their butts.
Yeah.
But that was less creating and more uplifting.
Yeah. Well, really just giving them a boat and some guns.
See? There we go. You know, getting them off their nuclear hellhole planet.
Yeah.
But other than that...
Yeah.
No, it never works out. Ever. Don't do it. If you're thinking about it, don't do it, kids. All right? Don't make a new race, a new species, just to fight for you. It's not going to work. Just take it from me. That's not going to work. All right? All right. Disclaimer done.
So, yeah, no orcs. So, basically, the orcs, they're greenish, grayish, brownish.
There's a rainbow of orc.
Yeah?
There's an orc rainbow.
They like to fight.
Yes.
And they, you know, they don't really roll, they have skills to supply their fighting. You know, they have logistics. It'd be kind of funny to think of an orc farming, but, you know, the orcs could definitely farm. I think they'd be more likely to be, domesticating animals and,
yes,
and herding livestock and that kind of thing.
I think orcs would only farm other orcs, honestly.
I feel like they'd have to do some kind of farming or something.
I feel like it'd be rudimentary.
Yeah.
Basic, at least.
They'd at least have to know how to cultivate grain to feed livestock.
Right. You can't trade for your livestock's feed. That's not a thing that can happen. There's just not enough of it. You'd end up trading away literally everything you own.
Yeah. And you can't raid for your livestock's feed, because the people that you're raiding for the wheat are just going to end up, you know, dead. And
dead.
And then you won't have anyone to reap your wheat anymore.
Right, exactly. That's a one-off thing. That's like, all right, our livestock's about to starve. We need the wheat now.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously never return to this area again. That's like the only reason you would have to
do that. I'm hesitant to say they're nomadic, because I feel like when they are used as a nomadic culture, it doesn't really line up or make sense. I feel like they make sense more as a culture that's sedentary, but is capable of making very, very wide-ranging campaigns for when they do have military conquests.
Right. I feel like they have a home, they just don't see it very often.
Yeah.
That's all.
They're not so much, a Mongol people or a Turkish people as you know, those kind of nomadic steppe cultures were.
Right.
They're more like Vikings, where
right.
they have three seasons that they're at home, they're raising livestock, they're cultivating fields, they're building, and then they have one long season where they are on campaign.
Right.
And to a certain point, some of them who are full-time military might go on campaign for a few years and then come back and then leave again after another couple of years.
Right. It's just a very away often, back for a while thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very, very on the nose for orcs. Just.
I feel like a really cool model for them might be the first caliphate and like the first expansion of Arabic peoples.
That would be an interesting way to take it.
Because, you know, that's the kind of thing where, you know, they have this huge burst of expansion and they gain a lot of land. They go from being a tribal nomadic desert people to, rooting down, becoming more sedentary, building cities, taking to education and science and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And that, you know, they still kept a nice warrior culture, but it was basically like, all right, you know, when the campaign season comes, well, we're going to roll out and we're going to raid all of these Byzantine settlements. We're going to raid all these, you know, African settlements that we haven't converted yet.
Right.
We're eventually, you know, well, I guess threatening Europe proper didn't really happen until, the fall of the Arab Caliphate and the takeover by Turkic peoples.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, they did take Spain for a good long portion of time.
Hmm.
Well, that was, we're getting, putting the cart before a horse. That's a different culture too. That's, you know, Marrakesh.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like a lot of times when we get to this point where we start making things up about races, we kind of look at the base early medieval line that kind of D&D aspires to be.
Right.
And then we take it towards the more Renaissance fantasy thing that D&D actually is.
Right.
And I kind of like orcs as they used to be this people that you would think of as barbaric and backwoods.
Yeah.
But like every other civilization, they grew out of that and
right.
they developed, you know, some industry and some trade. They built some cities. They got an economy going. They got more linked together as they expanded and their populations grew. And now they're coming to your doorstep and they're raiding your villages because that's honestly what civilizations do once they reach a certain point.
Yep. They build up and they build up and they build up and then everyone suffers.
Yes.
That's basically it. And I feel like that's something orcs could do very well.
Yeah.
Is build up and then make people suffer. I mean, they're not doing it out of any malice, per se. It's just what they do.
It's if you have a military, you either it's going to chew up your own backyard or you're going to take it to someplace else so that, you know, you get your fighting done there against not your own people.
Right, exactly. And I feel like that's an interesting way to look at orcs. Is that they build up and they build up and they're always ready for someone to come to their doorstep. But nobody does because they're always building up.
Yeah.
So then eventually they have to take it to someone else. They have this just like maybe generational aggression level that hits. It's just, all right, so we've got all these new young recruits, these new young lads who are just itching for a fight. But nobody's going to bring it to us. We're not... The gnolls over to the west really don't really care. All right, there's no point in that. They've got their own shit. They're happy. So we're going to go fight them. All right? Yeah, sound good? Yeah, we'll do that.
I feel like an important... I kind of like taking the face value interpretation of orcs and viewing that as the only thing that a victimized culture sees of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, yeah, orcs, they worship, you know, a gods like Bane and Grumsh.
Right.
And Bane and Grumsh could just be orc gods of that they pray to for battle. I mean, you know, Bane's a god. Bane and Grumsh are, like, gods of, like, slaughter and warfare.
Yeah.
Which, why wouldn't you pray to them when you are going off to raid someone?
Seriously. That's... You know, you don't yell for your god of fertility when you're about to go kill someone.
Back home, they might, you know, they might worship gods of butterflies and unicorn farts for all anybody knows.
Exactly. nobody ever looks into that. They don't really care to. I mean, they're all they see is them yelling about Grumsh and Bane as they cleave people in half.
Yeah.
But that's understandable.
Yeah.
But there's more to them than that.
I feel like an important thing for having orcs is you need to figure out what their motivations are to go off raiding.
Right.
Whether it's something political where, you know, you have several different groups and factions and tribes that have come together and you have the horde lord on top who sees that and sees, all right, you know, we just had this civil war that united the tribes, united the cities. And everything's fine now, but if I don't find an outlet for everyone, then it's going to go, I'm going to have a knife in my back and we're going to write back to square one.
Right.
So that could be a thing. Or, simply, them being hungry for plunder and glory.
Right.
I just feel like you really, with something like gnolls, well, if you're adjacent to gnolls, you're gonna end up fighting gnolls because that's just what gnolls do.
Yeah, they see you as weaker than them. They're gonna attack. Even if you're stronger than them, they're gonna see you as weaker than them.
Yeah, but with orcs, I feel like just saying, "Oh, well, they want to fight," is unless you're taking a very specific concept of historical settling and conquest, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for them to be a horde coming in to, you know, have a strategic assault on your civilization.
And they needn't always be a horde. That's what I'm going for. It's occasionally they'll just have small sorties out. It's just something to test the new blood or to let out the aggression or something of that similarity. Hmm. Because there needn't always be the tremendous big campaign. But there's always going to be the military doing something. And like you said, they're either going to trim up your own backside or someone else's.
I feel like that works in a context where maybe you don't have a highly centralized kind of authority for orcs to follow. You don't have a single person leading them. You don't have, you know, a religious temple that's kind of holding them all together. Mm. And so, yeah, you know, this orc group, they're going to send some orcs to fight out those orcs and to fight those orcs. And we got some humans over there. We might as well fight them too while we're at it.
I mean, they're there.
Yeah. It kind of brings the mind to the historical concept that, you know, what's described as, you know, an invasion of a people into an area is really just, oh, well, we've been in this village for countless generations, and now these other people moved into that village over there. And occasionally we fight because we don't know how to get along. And right. That's what we're going to call this great invasion of a horde. It's just people who are, they see, well, that glen is unoccupied. We're going to move there and set up shop. And right. maybe, you know, orcs, I'm sure, you know, they've got a prodigious population growth. Mm-hmm. You have a big bunch of orcs that decide they're going to go settle a new place.
Oh, yeah.
They sit down at this nice little river valley, and they didn't realize they were so close to this other village. And that other village is like, we don't know who they are. They got tusks. They look green. That's crazy. And they start fighting.
Right. And I can definitely understand the whole, like, they completely misconstrued their intentions kind of thing. And I think that actually could be played very well. You're right. I feel like that'd be a good way. I keep turning back to the whole aggression thing for them, but that's kind of their standout thing.
I feel like you could have both those. Just because the orcs aren't going out looking for a fight doesn't mean when they move into the area and they see that there's another village around there and the village isn't too friendly with them, I'm sure the orcs are going to be just as quick as to fight them as anybody else.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
It's not like the orcs are going to come by with some fruit salad and a nice turkey dinner and expecting everyone to be friendly and these evil humans are going
to
pull up their swords. No, they're probably going to be just as aggressive as anybody else is.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just doesn't mean that they have to be there because they're looking to fight. It's just they won't turn one down if they come across it.
Exactly. That's the thing. And I'm sure they can always find a way.
Yeah.
There will always be a way to misconstrue something, whether you intend to or not, as fighting words. And that may not always be what they do, but I think that could perhaps be a part of their culture.
Yeah.
You know, even their language is based around, if you don't want to fight, you really dance around it.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're probably going to get a fight, perhaps. That's just the way I'm seeing it. Yeah. And I think that, like, that would work really well for, like, the smaller bands that don't have a big centralized leader.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really a possibly promising way to go, where you have the division of, you have the big orc country, you have the big country leader, and then you have the outlying areas, the orcs that haven't been brought into the fold, as it were, or just didn't like that idea.
Yeah.
And I think they would be two very different societies and cultures for people to interact with. And one could easily get the wrong idea about one while dealing with the other.
Totally.
Yeah. And that could be an interesting source of contention between, yes, we have this group of quote-unquote civilized orcs, the ones that have the big leader, and they're generally a little nicer and a little easier to get along with.
Yeah.
And then you have the others who look exactly like them, wave the same banners, the same standards, but they're not.
I feel like that's something that we don't see enough in general is very much race and culture and nationhood in fantasy games is all pretty much the same thing.
Right, because you always have the human nation.
Yeah.
You always have the dwarven nation. You have the elven nation.
And sometimes you'll get maybe a race that has two nations.
Oh, yeah.
Or two cultures.
Usually humans.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you'll get two different kinds of elves and two different kinds of dwarves. But to see, you know, to have, you know, orcs as a people, and they have, they all have a couple of things in common, but all right, so we have this one set of orc city states over here, and they're a little bit more civilized,
mm-hmm.
And then the hinterlands, you have, you know, some unaffiliated, unaligned orcs, and their culture differs in a lot of ways, but they still have a couple of roots that they share in common.
Right.
And then you have these orcs that have been leaving both those lands to settle, you know, these human lands. And by the nature of that travel, they're fundamentally different than the other two groups.
Right.
And then you've got these orcs that live in this completely different environment that have been separated from the rest of them for a long time, and they're different.
Yeah. Orcs should be a culture or a race of diversity.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good way to take them, is just if you can find a way for them to be noticeably different from every other orc society you've made, then that's a pretty useful way to take them.
Yeah.
Because there's so much you can do with them. Yes, their core is at their fighters. Yes, their core is at their tradesmiths. Beyond that, you can move them in any direction, really.
Yeah.
Like, you could even do, you know, a group of experimental orc wizards. They're attempting the academia thing they see everyone else doing.
Yeah.
They may not be good at it, or they may be pretty good at it. It's up to you. But, like, I think that would be a great way to take it. Just such wide diversity.
Yeah. And who's to say that you know, an orc wouldn't, you know, try and contact and make pacts with demons to gain arcane power?
I mean, honestly, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
That's the better question.
Yeah. I guess we're basically going to go with that orcs are primarily carnivores.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I would honestly say so. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a vegetarian or primarily herbivorous species to be very warlike. Like, yes, they're going to fight. Obviously, that's nature. Yeah. But they're not going to be warlike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're omnivores and we're fairly warlike.
Right. But we're not primarily herbivorous.
I would still say that we're pretty equal. I wouldn't go so far to ever refer to humans as carnivorous.
Oh, no, certainly not.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons we can be warlike, is because, the instinct to kill is there. That's the thing. Whereas in herbivores, it's the instinct to run and protect yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I'm saying that.
Okay.
I'm not trying to claim that humans are carnivores. And I've seen that around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Humans are survivalists. Humans will eat anything.
Yeah.
Don't pull that on me.
I am starting to agree with you that definitely orcs are probably not going to be raising cabbages or anything.
Certainly not.
But I believe if you know, obviously they're going to have to learn how to cultivate grains for livestock.
Right.
I could see them eventually having, you know, a 50-50 meat and grain diet.
Oh, they could work it, yeah. Definitely. And I feel like they might occasionally pull something out of the ground. Like, if they happen to find a patch of potatoes left over by someone,
yeah,
that local area of orcs might start cultivating it, but I don't think it would spread.
Yeah.
It's only because it's there.
Yeah.
And that'd be like local delicacies. And thus to add to the diversity,
yeah.
they'd eat whatever they find.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm with you. I can't see orcs being even anything less than 50-50. Meat's going to make up a large part of the diet. That's just, they're too much into the aggression and the militarism, and that's just a simple way to keep up protein.
Yeah.
You're not going to be harvesting tofu for all of the orcs everywhere.
Also, I kind of feel like it's a way to still kind of hold on to the fact that orcs are they're supposed to be scary.
Yes,
they're supposed to be frightening.
Yes, and just the fact that they can eat basically whatever. Anything they kill, anything they harvest, or whatever they grow and ranch. It's just that's a quick way to telegraph that something can be scary, is that it eats meat.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see a deer, even like a big fucking huge, like 12-point rack male deer, you know, the kind that are actually kind of scary. You don't see them as a huge threat, because what are they doing? They're munching on grass. They're nibbling grass.
But, oh man, a stag can definitely kill you, though.
Exactly. And yes, they're capable of it, but we don't see it as that.
Yeah.
You have to actually know a lot about them.
Yeah.
However, if you were to see a stag eating, you know, a cow, you'd be like, all right, that's going to fuck me up. Or like you see any of our normal carnivores just eating meat, you're like, yep, that's, nope, bye.
Yeah. And I mean, that's even with, you know, most of the carnivores that you're likely to see probably aren't even, you know, ambush predators. They're probably scavengers.
Right. And even that's scary enough.
Yeah.
Because, like, scavengers are not above finishing off something that's weak. They're not above finishing off that horse with a broken leg.
Yeah.
It's just, all right, that's a lot easier than hunting it down. I'll do it. Yeah. But I don't feel like orcs would really be scavengers of meat.
Yeah. I feel like they wouldn't. They're definitely scavengers of other resources.
Yes.
But they don't seem hardy enough to be able to do that.
Right.
Like, if they're eating roadkill, it's fresh roadkill. Yeah. Not that they, several day old roadkill.
That they probably killed themselves.
Yeah.
Just because. I feel like that would be an important cultural point to them, is that you don't eat something that someone else has given to you. You kill it yourself. Like, in desperate situations, sure, you can have someone go out and do the hunting and bring them back. But I feel like that would be important to them to be able to prove that they can still go out and kill something.
Yeah. So, yeah, orcs.
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 Orcs. There was a surprising amount about orcs.
Yeah, I really went on this episode thinking that, you know, oh, this is going to be like the humans of the episode.
Basically, yeah. And I guess it was a little bit, but it wasn't so bad. Yeah. No. We covered rather a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot that you can do with orcs.
Yeah.
Like, you don't expect it. You see the humans of the horde, the humans of the non-humans, that's what you see orcs as.
Yeah.
But when you look at them, there's a lot that they came from. There's a lot that that you can do with them.
And one of the nice things about orcs being so readily available to everyone and everyone having an idea of an orc is it makes it easier for you to just kind of make up your own thing to spin on it and make them just, you know, a little bit more fresh and new. Just, you know, you want to have orcs and they all wear silly hats? Sure, go for it. Do it. Just,
please.
Yeah.
Just whatever you want to do with make orcs your own, do it, because they need it.
Yeah.
They are a perfect template. And that's exactly what orcs are. They are a template for you to lay on whatever you like. What are we doing next time?
Next up in the new year, it's going to be dragons.
Appropriate.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be a hard episode to do, but it's going to be, I think we're going to have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, I think we will. I think it'll be rewarding.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot done with dragons, and they have very, very, very strong stereotypes about dragons.
Yeah, so please, fucking, we know someone, y'all, you gotta have a story about a dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Please, please, give us your stories about dragons, ask us questions about dragons.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah. We'll be happy to, we'll dig into the most dusty, farthest in the back history books we can find in order to find any answer that you want.
Yeah.
Probably about dragons, but we'll answer basically anything, be completely honest.
I mean, it's a good moment to revisit kobolds, goblins.
Definitely.
Yeah. Pretty much lizard folk, anything.
Yeah, even lizard folk.
Yeah.
So really, please, just send us whatever you like. We'll go through it. We will 100% read whatever is sent.
Yeah.
It's likely at this point to get included in the show.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to hear from you. It would honestly make our days.
I am Pagetish on Twitter.
I'm Noel Bard on Twitter.
Yeah. The Ask Box on Tumblr's open.
Yes.
You can reach us on Twitter. You can reach us via email at the same addresses.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Yeah.
Yep. My Ask Box on Tumblr is open. You can always just hit me up literally anywhere you see Noel Bard. If you enter Noel Bard and you'll find it, it's me.
Yeah.
There is no other.
Yeah.
So?
Come find us at the Food Lion.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's, hunt us down at the coffee shop, at the Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. That's... Oh, boy. I don't get by without caffeine. I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you got whatever you wanted. I hope you had time with your family, with your friends, whoever. I just hope it was good for you.
Yeah.
And really, that's about all we got.
Yeah. I just hope that your holidays are not as stressful as mine have been and are going to be.
I'm so sorry.
It's been a rough month. Do not work retail.
Do not work. Never. Oh, unless you're near starving, don't work retail.
Yeah.
If you can find anything better, please do it.
Yeah. Send us all your best things about orcs. Send us all your best misconstrued animal references for orcs. Like, we've got pig orcs, obviously.
We've got pig orcs. We had lupine ear orcs.
We almost have wolf orcs.
Almost have orcs.
Yeah, almost have orcs.
We've got porks.
We've got porks.
We've got half orcs.
We could have some...